Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Unemployment has been top of mind since the start of the pandemic. In the early months, claims in Massachusetts were topping more than 600,000 a week. They eventually overwhelmed state unemployment insurance trust fund, and the Commonwealth turned to federal loans to keep benefits flowing. And that was just the latest financial shock to a fund that's been chronically shortchanged for years. So the state put together a commission to make recommendations on how to fix some of these systemic funding issues. And they gridlocked. No agreement, even on recommendations after 11 meetings. Well, joining us now here in the studio, Evan Horowitz. He is executive director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University, also a member of that Unemployment Insurance Commission. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's great to have my first morning session with you here.
It's great to have you here. Were you shocked that you guys couldn't come to agreement on recommendations?
I mean, shocked is very strong. It's hard in these circumstances. I was definitely disappointed. The unemployment insurance system in the state needs to be reformed. This was a great opportunity to do it, and we didn't.
All right, so let's backtrack for a second. In two sentences, how does the current system work? What is the unemployment insurance?
Here's a really high bar.
I know you can do it.
How does the system work? Well, you lose your job through no fault of your own, you apply to the state, and you're eligible to receive benefits from the state amounting to about half of your lost earnings. Where does that money come from? It comes from a tax on businesses. They pay in, and then when you lose your job through no fault of your own, you can claim a share of those benefits. I guess that's the short version of it. I'm going to add more sentences. One thing you could imagine that would be a problem here is that, you know, when the economy sours and we enter a recession, lots and lots of people lose their jobs. So suddenly the state has to pay all these people unemployment insurance benefits all at once. And this would be a terrible time to go to businesses and say, hey, we need you to pay more in taxes because we have all these unemployment insurance claims. The businesses would say, what are you talking about? We can't sell more stuff. The economy's tanking. So the way we get around this is that the system is forward funded. When times are good, we ask businesses to pay into the system. When times are bad, we pay more out to workers. And this is, I think, the best way, the right way to do it. And if you do it in a sound way, you can keep your system kind of solvent so that you have enough money when things go bad. And we haven't done that. We haven't done that for a really long time.
Meaning we haven't put the money in the good times.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. There are two reasons. There's a technical reason, there's a political reason. And I'll start with the political reason because I think it's kind of more interesting. But basically, we have a system where when we don't have enough money in this trust fund, it's basically a savings account, we don't have enough money in the unemployment insurance savings account, tax rates are supposed to automatically increase on businesses. So that's a nice check, right? Things are bad. Well, automatic. Except every year, the legislature steps in and says, yeah, we're supposed to automatically increase tax rates on businesses, but let's not do it this year. Now's not a good time. And they did this every year since the Great Recession. Like, there were 10 years.
So, like a decade.
Yeah. There were 10 years, at least, where tax rates were supposed to go up because we were not putting aside enough money. And the legislature stepped in under pressure from business groups and said, nah, not now. Let's wait a little while. And to be clear, there are times when that's appropriate. There are times when you say, actually, businesses aren't doing well. We shouldn't raise unemployment tax rates right now. But there are times when we should do that and we need to do that. So, this is the political problem. And then there's a technical problem. The technical problem is that benefits go up with wages. So, as wages go up, the amount you can claim in uninsurance benefit goes up because it's supposed to be about half of your weekly earnings. So as your earnings go up, you get more. Taxes don't go up with wages. Taxes are fixed. They're fixed at about the first $15,000 of what people earn. Businesses pay on that. So you can imagine in a system where benefits are always increasing automatically to keep up with wages, but taxes aren't increasing automatically, you inevitably end up in a system where taxes aren't covering benefits. So that's the technical problem.
All right. So now take us to this group. I don't need names, but give us the...
I mean, the names are out there.
Yeah.
You know, it was not a secret group. It was a very public group. We met publicly. We talked publicly. And in fact, that was one of the big challenges of the group is that everything happened publicly. But, you know, it involved a number of people, some on the business side, you know, some on the labor side, some, you know, people like me, you know, I'm not a lobbyist. I'm a researcher. And then two legislative leaders, one from the House, one from the Senate. And, you know, we had a series of meetings over time. We had interesting discussions. We had good speakers. And at the end of the day, we just couldn't agree on a package. And I say the public nature of it was a big, I think a big part of the challenge.
Why?
Yeah, I don't want to like anticipate your questions. Like, why didn't we get to consensus of some sort? People have different preferences. They, you know, the business side folks want different things than the labor side folks. And I want different things as a researcher who like studies best practices in other states. And it's nice to go into a room and say, all right, what is it that you really want? What is it the thing that you say you want because you're a lobbyist and you stand for an interest group and so you have to say that in public to make your constituents really happy? What's the thing you're really going to fight for and what would you trade? Like maybe I'll trade this thing, which is less important to me, and you'll trade that thing and we'll end up with a compromise we don't really like but we'll agree to it. And if you can close doors, you can get around a table, you can hash out that kind of compromise. You do that kind of horse trading and say, listen, I don't love this, but I think it's better. And you're also sacrificing something. And we're going to end up in a system with like higher taxes. Let's say one version of this compromise would be businesses agree that they need to be paying a little more in taxes. And the amount that they're paying has to be adjusted so that it keeps up with wages. And the labor groups agree, you know what, maybe we make eligibility a little bit too easy right now and we should tighten eligibility requirements and make it so that people have to have a little bit more attachment to the workforce before they're eligible.
Do you think if you had been able to have that group meet privately to do that horse trading and those trades were made, that the recommendations would have been approved by, and my understanding is that there was a majority vote to approve the recommendations, but you needed more than a majority vote?
Yes. Yeah, so the answer to the first question is, I really do think that we could have come to an agreement like that had we been able to close doors and talk amongst ourselves, and we weren't. So yes to that. The other is like, yeah, we got a majority vote. It's not that we decided we wanted a higher consensus than that. There was nothing forcing us to get to two-thirds or three-quarters except our own decision that it would be best as a commission if we came to two-thirds. So, you know, we also set ourselves a very high bar. And then failed to.
So couldn't you undo that now? I mean, now we have an unemployment insurance trust fund that doesn't have a mechanism in place to fix this problem. Couldn't you guys go back and change that threshold?
Well, in some ways, it doesn't matter all that much in that, like, whatever we decided was not going to have the force of law, right? We were not empowered to write legislation. We were just going to make recommendations to the legislature. And the legislature could still turn around and say, well, they got a majority. Maybe this is a good package. Let's move forward on that basis. And I will say, you know, we had two legislative leaders on this commission, that's Senator Pat Jalin and Representative Josh Cutler. They both voted for the package. So there was a package on the table. It kind of loosely involved the compromise that I laid out, plus some other things. Again, this is all public. Go check it out. They both voted for it. So there's at least some legislative momentum for it. Legislators could still go forward on this basis. But the commission could have provided some backing, some cover to push ahead with a compromise like this. And a compromise can be difficult. And we weren't able to.
What is the most important thing in those recommendations that you think needs to happen? You said at the beginning of this conversation, this is a system that needs reform.
I think that taxes need to be indexed. I mean, most important thing that needs to be fixed is this problem where benefits keep up with wages and taxes don't. But it's pretty straightforward to change the tax system so that taxes are also automatically updated every year to
all
keep
taxes,
up with
unemployment?
No, the unemployment insurance taxes. Sorry, so the unemployment insurance taxes on businesses are updated every year to keep up with wages. If you did that one change, it fixes a huge part of the problem. And it would keep the system kind of roughly in balance moving forward.
And would that then take the authority out of the hands of the legislature? Because right now there's a level of indexing that's there, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, the interesting response to this, I think, is that you can never take responsibility out of the hands of the legislature, right? You can never – one of the sort of grounding principles of legislation is you can't bind future legislators. You make a decision today and you say, guess what? Future legislators, you can't change this. And then the future legislators come and they say, what do you mean I can't change it? I'm the legislature. We're the legislature now. We'll change what we want. So – you can say, no, we make it automatic and then the legislature can't intervene. But of course, they could always come in and say, you know what, let's block the automatic indexing. However, we do have lots of parts of the tax code that are updated automatically, that do have this. So it's not alien. It's not unusual. Every tax bracket gets updated like this every year. I'm writing now about the senior circuit breaker. There's a tax deduction for seniors. It gets updated every year. We could just do the same thing with unemployment insurance taxes.
All right. Evan Horowitz is Executive Director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University, also a member of the Unemployment Insurance Commission that didn't quite get there on their recommendations. Evan, thanks for
joining
us.
Thank you, Tiziana.